The Port San Luis Lighthouse is spooky this time of year. It's haunted. And Christy Belzer is going to be in to talk to us about what was she doing out there. What did I say?
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Christy Belzer is going to be in to talk about what's going on out there at that crazy haunted lighthouse, Port San Luis. Hi, you're Bill Talker, Chief Friends and Neighbors Network, and it's Tuesday, and here's the deal. The Apple's come out with their, what do they call it, the iPad Mini. You know, there was a lot of people that were not really sold on the idea that they called the iPad to begin with for obvious reasons. Now they've really upped the ante with this thing in a way because, remember the old joke, this was from years and years and years ago, back when, the plane, remember? And Hervé Villechaize, and so there was the joke about Hervé Villechaize building condos for friends where they can, when they visit at no charge, they were going to be called Stay Free Mini Pads.
At Idlers, we are a family-owned company, and we love where we live.
We are your neighbors.
We are How'd You Sleep Last Night?
Idlers Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep.
Ready for perfect?
Try Sealy, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic.
We have them all and more
at every price.
Free delivery, free setup, free haul away, every day.
Paso,
San Luis Obispo,
Idlers.net.
Idler Sleep Source, best prices guaranteed.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends. And that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel. In Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
That's right. They care for the loved ones you care about. So if you care about your loved ones, that's where you want to put them. All right. Here's Bill talking Sheep Friends and Neighbors Network at 1209 right now, 1340 KYNS, your news station. Here's what's going on our day in history and our birthdays, according to the Tribune. Highland history, on October 23rd in 1942, during World War II, Britain launched a major offensive against Axis forces at El Alamein in Egypt, resulting in Allied victory. On this date, 1915, tens of thousands of women marched to New York City demanding the right to vote, by gosh. 1954, West Germany was invited to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which it did the following year, NATO being what it was at the time. And then Bertrand Russell, this was kind of interesting what he said. He said, three passions, simple but overwhelmingly strong, have governed my life, the longing for love, the search for knowledge, and unbearable pity for the suffering of mankind. Birthdays today, soccer great Pele is 72, movie director Ang Lee is 58, country singer Dwight Yoakam is 56, and Parodist and the Cal Poly alum Weird Al Yankovic is 53 today. Happy birthday to them and to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
News you can use from CalcoastNews.com today. I'm Bill Beckett telling you what's going on. Santa Maria Times on Saturday posted a phony letter to the editor slamming Congresswoman Lois Capp's performance and claiming a Democratic club had refused to endorse the Democratic candidate for the 23rd District. As a Democratic club, we should be endorsing all Democratic candidates, but her performance as our representative in Congress has been so extremely bad for so long, we can no longer support her, the letter to the editor said. However, we do not endorse her opponent because we are Democrats. The letter states it was written by John Castillo of Santa Maria, president of the North Santa Barbara County Democratic Club. However, there is no registered North Santa Barbara County Democratic Club to begin with, and the only John Castillo in Santa Maria is a Republican who told the Times he did not write the anti-CAPS letter. Following the publication of the letter, the editors of the Times discovered no one had contacted the letter writer and today posted a story explaining the mistake. And this is what they said. The error is particularly bad because Democrats, Democrats Club president was highly critical of a Democratic candidate. Lois Capps, the Times editorial staff, said certainly that should have raised enough red flags that any number of people here should have said, wait a minute, has someone checked this? Several people assumed that someone else had, and we all know the old saying about what happens when we assume. You know what it is. Anyway, it's not a good thing. That's what it is right there. In case you have never heard it, and you have to have heard it by now, assume makes an ass of you and me. Get an ASSU, I mean. Okay, well, I never very much liked it myself, so I never used it. Okay, here's the more political. This is it's all politics today. I mean, after the big debate and everything last night, everything's politics. Democratic Congresswoman Lois Capps called on Georgetown law graduate and a renowned target of radio host Rush Limbaugh, Sandra Fluke, on Monday to help her campaign. After Capps explained her own record of supporting women, Fluke spoke on behalf of the congresswoman at a winery in Santa Barbara. The activist commended Capps for her history of supporting women's issues and chided her Republican opponent, Abel Maldonado, for not doing the same. On February 29th, Limbaugh called the Fluke a slut. He called Fluke a slut. And a prostitute in response to Fluke's speech to House Democrats supporting taxpayer-subsidized contraception. Fluke said Monday that Capps rushed to her defense. Every day Lois was there fighting for women, she said. Fluke said Maldonado has a very different agenda for women. I don't think he's been straight with women of the Central Coast, Fluke said. The women's rights activist said she examined Maldonado's record and noticed that he had received failing grades from Planned Parenthood and the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws. I didn't like what I saw, Fluke said. Former Assemblywoman and current state Senate candidate Hannah Beth Jackson also spoke at the Capps rally and commended Fluke's efforts in fighting for women. The Democratic Women of Santa Barbara County hosted the Capps event. About 100 people gathered at the Oceano Winery to listen to the speakers and watch the presidential debate. So it wasn't just a fluke that she was there. She was invited. All right. Other people in the news today. We got more politics in the news here. All right. San Luis Obispo City Council candidate Kevin Rice filed a complaint with the city clerk Tuesday, accusing his opponent, incumbent John Ashbaugh, of misusing city resources to benefit his campaign and violating the campaign finance code that the councilman voted into place. Rice's complaint, signed additionally by council candidates Matt Strezbeck and mayoral candidate Steve Brosh and Donald Hedrick, documents 14 separate emails pertaining to campaign matters that Ashbaugh sent from his city account. California Government Code Section 8314 prohibits the use of public resources for campaign matters. On September 25th, in response to a public records request, Ashbaugh stated in an email to City Clerk Grimes that he had once used his city email for campaign purposes. Changing his initial report that he had never done so, Ashbaugh acknowledged sending the one email to San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Adam Hill. Mea culpa, Ashbaugh wrote to Grimes. Yet Rice's complaint provides 13 additional emails Ashbaugh sent from his city account addressing campaign matters, including another conversation with Hill, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And on it goes. Far, far too long. All right, so let's go back. Let's go because this is important for Morro Bay. Morro Bay is losing their police force somewhat rapidly, to tell you the truth. And so they're hoping for a big turnaround out there in Morro Bay. And so they've named a new police chief. So the new police chief is Amy Christie, a lieutenant with the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Department. It was announced yesterday that she's the new top dog. According to Andrew K. Luker, the city manager, Christie distinguished herself as a top candidate during an interview process described by city officials as rigorous. Christie, whose mother resides in Morro Bay, will be sworn in November 13th. She holds a bachelor's degree in criminal justice management and is pursuing a law degree at Monterey College of Law. Luker said Christie's clearly possesses enthusiasm and a true passion for teamwork and for community. And at 12:16, that's Calcos News. CowCoastNews.com, up to the minute, this minute.
CowCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All right, politics, 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 politics. And so there's more opinion that I actually know. I say every opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody has one. Actually, with when it comes to this presidential campaign, there's more opinions than there are belly buttons, I got to tell you the truth. And so all those are being expressed on the Internet today in every which way but sideways. And so every word is analyzed, every phrase is analyzed, everything is analyzed. And, yes, I heard it. It was a debate. Okay. I'm looking forward to what is it, the 9th? Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I have to tell you the truth. Okay, I would be lying if I didn't tell you that. All right, let's see what's going on. Well, they had this was an interesting tale here. They had this what's it called? Fantasy league, fantasy football league, sex league thing. That was up at a high school, and so let me see if I can find this for you. Okay, so this is the school warning people of the fantasy sex league. So the idea was the boys that would score points for whatever they scored points with the girls, if you know what I mean, scoring. And so it was a lot less complicated when we were younger. There was no league involved.
4G LTE is the fastest. So which super fast 4G LTE service would you choose based on this chart? Don't rush into it. I'm not looking for the fastest answer.
Obviously, Verizon.
Okay. I have a different chart going that way. Does that make a difference?
Look, Verizon is so much more than the other one.
So what if we just change the format altogether?
Isn't that the exact same thing?
That's pretty clear.
Still sticking with Verizon.
Verizon. More 4G LTE coverage than all other networks combined.
Saturday afternoon women's soccer event. We talked with parents about the letter sent out by high school principal Rich Kitchens. In the letter, he describes a fantasy slut league in which our female students, unbeknownst to most of them, are drafted as part of the league. Male students earn points for documented engagement in sexual activities with female students. According to the letter, school staff learned about this during a recent assembly about date rape prevention. An investigation was launched on campus, and they learned this has been going on for 5 to 6 years. The principal writes, participation often involved pressure manipulation by older students that included alcohol to impair judgment and control and social demands to be popular. I talked with Superintendent Constance Hubbard by phone about the letter.
We wanted to make sure that parents were aware of things that are going on in their kids' lives.
Through the course of the day, I talked to about a dozen parents with children at Piedmont High School. They all told me they are surprised by this letter by the principal describing this fantasy slut league, but none of them wanted to talk on camera. They say Piedmont is a small town, and this is a very sensitive subject. There is one parent who agreed to talk with me.
I'm really glad that there's a strong administration who's willing to take on these kinds of issues. As a mother of four girls, I couldn't be happier.
Piedmont school administrators say they issued the letter in an effort to be proactive.
The main thing is that I don't want to blow it out of proportion. I don't want to make it something that is some, you know, horrible big event that we, you know, found out about.
They're planning a series of on-campus assemblies with lessons about preventing this in the future.
I'm sorry. Preventing what in the future? Calling it a league, I guess. That's all I can imagine. That's what they're preventing. It's calling it a league. Guess what else happened? In Yuba City, California, they had a tornado overnight, and it really knocked some stuff down, blew stuff around. It was not good. And we're not supposed to have tornadoes here, are we? Okay. So I don't know who loaned us a tornado, but you can have it back. We don't need it. We just had two earthquakes, for gosh sakes. That's enough. All right. Jeez Louise. Somebody went by the window, so I wonder if my guess is here, crazy, but maybe they'll come to the window again. Other things that are going on besides that thing last night, this is taxes and roads are all the talk of the Paso election, which is appropriate when you go to see the roads in Paso Robles. They're like many other places. Not nearly as bad, though, in Paso. If you think your roads are bad in Paso, the people of Grover Beach have the you know, the number one spot for bad roads, that without question. So anyway, but there's a lot of stuff going on up there. This is a and this is a weird story, kind of. There was between two buildings at the Jerry Renault car dealership, Paso Robles, some homeless had made an encampment, and then they got a fire started somehow, and the woman was trapped. Well, luckily, a guy kind of he got some siding out and was able to help her breathe, you know, have a place to stick her head while the other people went and rescued her. And had these people not shown up, they say she would have been cooked. So that's it was lucky that they showed up. It says, they said maybe a lamp. What would they plug the lamp into? Where would you plug the lamp into? Maybe it's one of those old-fashioned Coleman jobs. I was thinking about that just the other day because Nancy and I, for an emergency lantern, went and bought, it was on sale, it was a great price, and went and bought a 24 LED lantern, and it uses four of the D batteries. So it uses four of the D batteries, and it's bright. It's like insane. And you know what's? And you look at this new technology today, and then you think back the Coleman lanterns with the white gas, the mantles, all that stuff you had to go through to make a light when you're camping. And now look at what you got. It's just absolutely amazing. Anyway, the other thing too that we should ask ourselves is why is there a D, a C, an A, and a double A, and I mean a double A and a triple A battery? There's a double A, triple A. What happened to B? How come there's no B battery? Do we know why? I don't know why. I was asking you. I have no idea. So here they're talking on CNN about the fact that, and this is worth noting because it's the same thing with Bill Clinton happened with Bill Clinton when he was president of the United States. His hair went from, you know, colored to gray while he was the president of the United States. I mean, I think it's just, I think it's, that's what happens to you. I can understand that. You know, that's a big responsibility being the president of the United States, I think. That's why I'm not running. All right? I ain't got the poop. So anyway, this is kind of crazy stuff. All right, other things. Now here, I was going to see if I could look up, but I didn't have a chance. But you can look it up. Disney defends princess with Hispanic roots. Now, you know, it's one of those things, what were they thinking? The character Princess Sophia stars in a TV movie titled Sophia the First, Once Upon a Princess. So this is, they say, but this is a fantasy. And why does she have red hair and blue eyes, you ask yourself. Well, and this is what they came up with. You can send her in. Yeah, she can come. And so instead of saying, well, maybe we made a mistake, they said, this is fantasy. And besides, she's a fairy tale world. And her mother and birth father hail from kingdoms inspired by Spain and Scandinavia. Spain and Scandinavia. Not much Spanish came through on this princess. Anyway, so that was kind of fascinating. All right, we're going to have our guest in here in a sec. So let me get ready for her. Let's get ready for her by doing this, this, and this. And so we'll be ready momentarily. I got something special here to help us get into it. All right, you ready?
You say you will if you could, but you can't. like dancing. Is it rain? Can I have a volunteer?
Just keep right on dancing.
What a damn jolly good idea. It's such a jollification, as a matter of fact. So trace your mom.
All right, cool. So we're here right now, and I have Christy Balzer and daughter with us on KYNS. Hi, Christy.
Good morning.
Nice to have you.
Thank you.
And in case she decides to join us, go ahead and tell us her name again.
Oh, this is my daughter, Avon.
Okay, this is Avon. So in case you, if you hear a noise, it's Avon. If it's not her mom, or me making a funny noise, a gurgly noise, it's Avon. All right, that's cool. She's drawing for us over there. She's got a new haircut. How old's Avon?
She's four, almost five.
Four, almost five. Wow, cool. She's got it held up there. She's ready to go with four and a half, like five, almost five. Okay, she's getting practicing on it. All right, we're going to talk about a great thing. And what I did was the easiest way to do this is, and for you to do it, I would say, is to go to the Point San Luis Lighthouse website.
Right.
And it has all the facts about what's going on. And this is totally cool. I didn't know we did this last year, and so I'm sure glad you got hold of me so we could talk about this year.
Oh, thank you.
This is we have a haunted lighthouse for Halloween, so tell us about it.
So this Saturday, as you said, is our second annual Haunted Lighthouse event, and we're doing something new this year. We're going to have an evening event called Murder Mystery Dinner Theater, and you'll be able to tour the Haunted Lighthouse with ghosts, ghouls, and zombies wandering the grounds and restored buildings. And then you'll join us in the duplex for a gruesome four-course dinner and a murder mystery performed by the Pioneer Valley High School players called Inheritance of Murder.
Oh, how fun. It's high school players. That's
great.
Good for,
the that's kids
fun.
From Pioneer Valley High School.
How cool is that?
And, yeah, we're very excited to have them out. And then if you can't make the evening time, we're going to also have spooky trolley tours during the day. It's a guided tour of the haunted lighthouse with your ghost, ghoul, or zombie docent. We'll have some light refreshments, including apple cider and haunted cookies and such. And probably one of the special things that I want to mention is that this evening I have a team of paranormal investigators coming to the lighthouse to do a scientific investigation of the hauntings at the lighthouse. And if they find anything, which it's a 125-year-old lighthouse, so I suspect
there must be something, yes.
There's got to be a ghost there, one or two at least.
That's right.
They will be back to join us on Saturday throughout the day and into the evening as part of the tour to tell everyone what they found, what spooks are out there at the light station.
This is what a fun idea. And if you haven't, a lot of people I know, because it took me forever. I mean, I went last year. I've lived here 35 years.
Yeah.
Last year was the first time I went to the lighthouse. If you don't go out there, you're missing out. I mean, I really mean that. And this is especially a fun time to do it, of course, this weekend because they got this great event. But otherwise, even so, they have a trolley that goes out now, you know, or you can hike it. You can hike it in and trolley out, or you can hike it in and hike it out, depending on how you feel. And it's a bit of a hike, though, I will tell you that. If you could plan on hiking it, it's a bit of a hike. So let's tell you what's going on here. The Murder Mystery Dinner Theater is 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., and that's this Saturday. And then during the day, the spooky trolley tours are from 11 to 2 every hour, 11 a.m., 12 p.m., 1 p.m., 2 p.m.
That's right.
And so a different price for kids and adults and 12 and under. And so it's fun to see the lighthouse anyway.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And now it's and of course, the lighthouse doesn't light, as we know. It has now we have a electronic beacon that beacons. And
yeah,
the beacon beckons.
It rotates 24 hours a day, all day long, all year long. It's actually automated and managed out of Vandenberg Air Force Base.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that and the fog signal, which is also automated, is monitored by the folks down at Vandenberg. And once in a while, they come up and check on their equipment. But for the most part, it all just runs all on its own.
Doesn't that seem weird? You would think the Coast Guard out of Morro Bay would be responsible for a lighthouse and a foghorn.
Yeah, no. It's
Vandenberg.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, go figure.
I know. The Coast Guard comes up once in a while, too, to check up on the place. But mostly the people that are out there are the volunteers, the lighthouse keeper volunteers who work on the restoration and maintenance and who do the docenting of the tours and who help put on events like this. We have quite a few volunteers, but we're always looking for more good people to help out there. And we always need lots of people on an event like this. It takes a lot of people to pull something.
So here's
like
what it said. Here's when you go to the website. Let me tell you some things you see on the website. It has lighthouse tours, news, host an event, photographs and media, becoming a member, history, contact us, lighthouse keepers. Then it has to hike to the lighthouse. Click here because again, you make reservations to be on a group that hikes to the lighthouse.
Right. So the hiking program is managed by Pacific Gas and Electric Company, who we partner with to help manage the property and the site, because the Pedro Coast Trail, which is the trail that you hike on, actually goes across Diablo Canyon property. So you do have to be with a docent guide, either on the trail or on the trolley, to access the lighthouse, unless you'd like to kayak over to Whalers Cove Beach, which everyone is welcome to do that. The beach is the only open access point to the light station. You can kayak over any day of the week, any time of the day. And you can walk up and check out the buildings. You might not be there at the right time for a tour, but you can always explore the exterior of the buildings there at the light station.
Oh, that's really cool. Now, let me try to, if I remember my history correctly here in San Luis Obispo, wasn't the lens to the lighthouse the light in the historical museum for a long, long time?
Yes, for many years, once they removed the lens, which is a fourth order Fresnel lens, from the light station, they did place it over at the History Center. And then it went from the History Center over to the County Library right there in downtown San Luis. And it lived there for a while, all the way up until about 2008, 2009, when it returned to the light station, when we had a special room built for it, and we had a lampist come out from Ohio to help restore the lens and train some of our volunteers on how to clean and maintain the lens.
So now is it back in there?
No, it's not up in the
tower. I was going to say, I didn't see it when I tried it there. So.
It's very well protected. Of course, it's a priceless artifact, and so we keep it in a special room inside the restored fog signal building. It has its own room with a door that shuts so that we can keep it humidified, control the air temperature, because the substance that holds the lens pieces in the brass armature is very delicate, and it has to be maintained at a certain temperature. So.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when was that lens first ground? Do you know?
The lens itself, I think, was actually manufactured in the mid-1800s.
Wow.
Or maybe in 1870... I'm not sure. You'll have to come on the tour to find out.
Okay, but no, I was just thinking that whatever they used for silly putty back then to hold the lenses together was something that's become very delicate.
Because it's not like glue. It's almost more like a graphite material. So if it gets too dried out, the lens pieces themselves could fall out. So,
well, do they put some tape or something just in case?
No. No, it's just, we're just very, very careful with it.
That's interesting.
Kid gloves, literally, white kid gloves and very soft toothbrushes.
Your neighbor up the coast at some point is going to get a new hat, and that's Pedras Blancas Lighthouse. And, of course, they've been working on restoring that.
Yes.
And they want, and the light for that has, of course, been on display in Cambria forever and ever.
Right.
Right on Main Street.
Right.
And now I don't know if they're anticipating putting that lens back in or they're going to do something. I think they're going to put a solid state thing like you guys have.
That could be. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but I think they're going to. Again, because the difficulty of maintaining a regular lighthouse.
That's an interesting thing, too, because if you come and visit the Point San Luis Lighthouse and see our fourth order Fresnel lens and then go to Pedras Blancas or up to Cambria and see their first order Fresnel lens, you really get a very dramatic idea about the difference in size and shapes that these types of lenses came in.
The one in Cambria is huge.
It is huge. It's so big you could stand inside of it.
Right.
Whereas our lens is small, you could almost wrap your arms around it if we let you do that, which we don't.
Because we don't want to mess with the graphite. Do you
exactly.
Understand? All right, so this is going to be just a hoot of an event here this Saturday. Let me remind you what we're doing here. Murder Mystery Dinner Theater from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so you can get tickets. You can even entertain if you want to get a table for eight. They have special prices. And then during the day, Spooky Trolley Tours depart from 11 a.m., 12 p.m., 1 p.m., and 2 p.m. And they... I'm trying to remember. Does it depart from near where the trailhead is?
It's on the way there. We have a staging area off of Avila Beach Drive. It's if people have been in the area a long time, they'll remember it as the place where the San Luis Yacht Club was dry docked for many years while they were restoring the Avila area. But it's called Wild Cherry Canyon, and it's just a big dirt lot right across from Dog Beach. But we're lucky enough to get to keep our trolley there, and we have a parking facility there for up to 100 vehicles. So all of our guests park and board the trolley there. And what we do is we'll send you an email confirmation that has the specific directions on how to get there and what time to be there.
Let me make sure I understand where this is. So do you go to the entrance to Diablo and it's right there?
What you do is you come down Avila Beach Drive, and as you're headed in the direction of the port, you'll see on the right-hand side of the road before you get to Diablo Canyon this big dirt lot, and sometimes there's cows there. And there's a chain link fence around it. And right there is where we keep the trolley and our backup vehicles. Then you'll board the trolley there, and the trolley will drive down the road the rest of the way, pass through the gates of Diablo Canyon. And then the Lighthouse Road is just a tenth of a mile after the gate of Diablo Canyon. And that is the original Lighthouse Road that was first built in the early 1900s.
Wow. And Wild Cherry Canyon, if we ever get our ducks in a row out there, of course, is going to become part of Montaña de Oro.
Right. Connecting those two really together, cool. And that area would become part of the state park system.
Christy Balzer is my guest. Let's ask Christy about Christy Balzer. So how do you get a job being the Lighthouse person, commandant?
Oh, you are just very luckily in the right place at the right time. I was very fortunate to be close friends with the president of the Lighthouse Keepers Board, and they were seeking a tour and PR manager a couple of years ago. They were ready to sort of hand that off, that job off to staff. It had been being managed by the board itself, and my previous job had ended. And I was just right there at the right place at the right time, and the board interviewed me and thought I would do a good job, and I hope they still think I'm doing a good job.
I'm sure they do.
I'm very lucky. I feel so grateful to be a part of this organization.
Now, did you grow up here? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up all over the West Coast, but some in Oregon, and am from Washington State originally, but we came to this area from San Diego.
Oh, okay. And did you go to school here at all?
No, but my husband is a graduate of Cal Poly, okay. Both the engineering program and the teaching programs.
There you go. There it is.
Yeah.
And Avon's been really just calm and collected over there. She's been
a good
girl. She's a good
girl.
Very good. She really is. I wish she'd talk on the microphone, but she doesn't want to. I can understand that.
You
I can understand.
Say hi.
You want to say hi at all? You want to just say hi? To anybody. You can say hi. Wait a minute. Let me turn that one on. Okay, so just say hi to... Who would you say hi to? Who's special? Who would you say hi to?
What about Dado?
Did you say it? Do it again for me.
Hi, Dado.
There you go. Hi, Dado. Hi, Dado. That's good. Okay, well, we got it there. All right. Is that Dad?
Yeah.
Dado is Dad. All right, good. Anybody else?
What about sister?
Oh, you have a sister?
Yeah.
Oh, you better say hi to your sister. Say hi to your sister. Say hi.
Hi, sister and cats.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, kiddo.
Oh, man.
Anyway, it's going to be a fun time this Saturday. And so the best thing to do in the whole wide world is just go to the Port San Luis Lighthouse website and just Google it and go put Port San Luis in to come up right away for you. And you can get all the information, know the tour times and everything, and get all the facts. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, are you looking for new docents? Do you need more docents out
there?
Oh,
yes. We always need more docents. We're always looking for volunteers who would like to share the history of the Lighthouse with our guests. people who are interested in doing maintenance and labor out of the lighthouse. So I always say that the lighthouse is a little bit like the Golden Gate Bridge. You start painting at one end and get to the other and have to turn right around again. It's a constant, you know, there's constant maintenance that needs to be done out there. We have crafty keeping in the at the holiday time when we get ready for our big holiday events. So we need people who are into crafting. We need people who are into baking and or just like to help out in an event and help to throw parties, because we do now have the opportunity to host people's rehearsal dinners or wedding ceremonies, birthday parties, anniversaries, you name it, we can do it.
Things are going on out there.
Yeah, it's become a very busy place.
That's really neat.
Really proud. And if you have questions or want to learn more about this Saturday's event or docenting, you can call 540-5771, and I can tell you everything you need to know.
All right, Christy Balzer from Port San Luis Lighthouse, and what a pleasure, and thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you bet.
Stands on golden sand and watches the ships that go sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her.
Bye, Bobby Darin. And we're sailing right there. You're Bill Beckett, Talk Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network. And again, if you haven't had a chance to go out on the Lighthouse Tour, do yourself a favor and do it, because it's really a lot of fun. And it's just a great lighthouse. And you take the trolley. That hike is arduous. I'm going to tell you that right now. I mean, it's arduous for a normal person, let alone a gimp. I didn't think I was going to make it. I don't know how I did it. I couldn't do it again. All right. I'm trying to think what we have besides sex leagues and all that. And at some point I'm going to look up. I'm going to see if Pocahontas had blue eyes. I'm trying to remember back then. I can't remember that far back. An executive testifies against Britney Spears' manager. This was a because, you know, we got this big lawsuit going on with that. Anyway, so Britney was pretty erratic at the time. Weiss testified at trial. Anyway, so the big thing going on. And then I'm tired of seeing this name in the paper, but no charges for Lohan and car scrape. Okay, let's move ahead, shall we? Here's an important picture right here. This is these are people from the Aquatic Environment, whatever. Aquatic Environments is the name of the outfit. I didn't know we had such a thing. Anyway, Lakeside Drive and Oceana behind, and this is Paul Revere and Richard Revere. And what they're doing is they're clearing out armloads of bulrushes. So hopefully it'll help with the flooding problem that we've had there. I don't know if I don't know how much that'll help, but, you know, whatever. Now, here's another thing that's kind of fun on the Central Coast. I tell you, you know, as we grow. Matter of fact, we've grown so much in Templeton that I was a little bit startled to see how many businesses were involved in the new chamber. And so, anyway, they have a new director, Burdette Robeson. And so she's the new director. And so they said that membership is about 200 people or businesses, 200 businesses. Yeah, a membership about 200 businesses. That's a lot more than I would have guessed, wouldn't you? 200 businesses in Templeton? Some are underground, apparently. I don't know what they are. I don't know why. I just find that startling, to tell you the truth. I find that absolutely amazing. All right. Let us go on with other things. Weather-wise, chilly today. I wore a sweater today. Chilly today. Still kind of chilly tomorrow, and then by Thursday, it's supposed to be back in the 70s, and by the weekend, low 80s in San Luis Obispo environs. So it's going to be, we're going to go back to warmth again. Whereas they had a thing where they were talking about the amount of snow up in the Sierra, and they said, did we miss fall? We went from summer to snow. You know? Well, that's a good thing, though, all right? That's a good thing. That's my opinion. All right, that's a good thing. So, let me share this with you, if I may. Just a matter of getting the darn thing found. Oh yeah, there was a story about this beluga whale that mimics human speech, and they're studying it. That is it. You say, Bill, is there more to it than that? Is there a story that goes with it? I'll tell you the story. So these scientists have been studying this beluga whale that's making these noises and saying, is it trying to copy human beings? And the scientists say, this is what they finally said, we'll never really know, will we? I don't know. Will we? Maybe you put it on some kind of an analyzer or some darn thing, whatever you got there, and you analyze it or something. I don't know. There's a spectrometer or something. I don't know. Something that would say, okay, this looks like human speech or something. The thing is, it sounds like somebody's been singing to that whale. And if it's copying somebody, they've been singing to it. And it probably wants that to stop, I would imagine. All right. That's not saying anything. Probably they'd be glad to say that. We're done with that. Okay, I'm trying to negotiate this thing here a little bit. Let's get to let me come over here and get to this. All right. I don't know what happened with Wall Street today. It just went and tanked. It just tanked today. And this is this thing about the saying, well, maybe it's because, we've had the bad earnings reports and all this kind of stuff, and it may be, but it's still kind of crazy. There's not really a real reason for it, except, you know, the whims of Wall Street. So here it is right here. Did California skip fall for winter? They got 2 feet of snow in the Sierra, so that's cool. All right, there's nothing wrong with that. We'll take that. Then we had this terrible, terrible story about this little girl. And she was in Rochester, Pennsylvania, which is out in the boonies. And she was dressed dressed in black and white for Halloween. And so a woman shined a light for her son to help her shoot what they thought was a skunk. It was this little girl, and she's in critical condition. I don't know how, if you had a light, how would you possibly imagine still a skunk? But then when you hear these strange tales, you know, you never can understand anyway what the whole thing really is. You can't understand it. There's no way to understand it. Okay. So in this case, we don't understand that either. All right. we have bad news about people that were found not alive, you know. So I didn't want to really get into all that. I didn't want to get into that. Okay. Here was an interesting story here, though. CIA leaker John Kiraku, is that how you say his name? Pleads guilty to revealing covert ID. A former CIA officer pleaded guilty Tuesday to leaking the identity of one of the agency's covert operatives to a reporter, and will be sentenced on that case because of that, what he did. He'll be sentenced to more than 2 years in prison. As part of a plea deal, prosecutors dropped charges for John Kiraku, I think is how you say his name, that had been filed under the World War I era Espionage Act. They also dropped a count of making false statements, though under which he was convicted. The Intelligence Identity Protection Act had not yielded a conviction in 27 years. Of course, when it was, what happened with Valerie Plame? What happened with that one? We could, you know, we just kind of let that one go by, I guess. Okay. Well, there's no sense in wondering. Okay, there. No sense in wondering. They sometimes just go by. Okay. Now, Donald the Trumpster says he has big news. He's going to announce the big news about something about the president. He has some news about President Obama. And he's going to announce they wouldn't even hand him. This is big, 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 big. And he's going to announce it tomorrow. And why he continues to be such a nerd, I don't know. But I guess he likes it, so I'm not going to really, I'm not going to, you know, try to speculate on his nerdiness. But it's really kind of weird how he kind of proceeds with life. So anyway, so that's what's going on with that. We'll see what the really, really big, 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 big news is. Okay. And then we'll decide if it really was big, 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 big news or not. You know, we're going to find out. All right. Let's talk about other things that are going on. 7 minutes before 1 o'clock is our time. And you're with Bill Benneker. Talk is cheap. Friends of Neighbors Network. Settlement eases rules for some Medicare patients. This is really good news for a lot of Medicare patients. Coverage would be approved if treatment would prevent a condition from worsening rather than requiring likely improvement. All right. So here was the thing. It used to be that they sort of had a rule that if we perform a procedure, we're going to improve you in some way. Now they're saying that to be a little bit more proactive is because we're, you know, everybody, we got all the baby boomers coming along, everybody's old, and we're getting crusty. And so they're saying, okay, what we want to do is prevent perhaps an existing condition from getting worse, which makes sense because, you know, you become debilitated by something and then we're yet. All right. So that's what they're saying. So I would say that's I would say on the surface that looks like good news. We'll find out though. All right. Governor Jerry Brown told a national gathering of American Indians that the adversity they faced in the past should be a confidence builder for future achievements. Did they throw stuff at him when he said that? Did they shoot at him? Anything? Anyway, he was in Sacramento for a minute. I don't know why I would say that. But that's what happens right there. And then there was in Vallejo, a California man was shot and killed by police when he went on a naked rampage with a loaded rifle. Anyway, so he was shot because he was out of his mind. Toxicology tests are pending. By the way, they have on calcoastnews.com, they have the guy that's running for city council up in Paso Robles who was, I don't know if he's drunk. I don't know if that's what he is. He's not with it, I can tell you that. I mean, he's, you know, something has changed his world, and you can definitely tell that. But I'm not exactly sure what it is. So it was, but it's something. You know, I mean, there's something wrong with the guy. So if you want to go to calcoastnews.com, then you can find out about that. And Mo Rocca, if I can find this, Mo Rocca is going to have a new show on TV. It's on the Food Channel. Why not? They've tried. They've had Boitano. They've had all these different people give it a shot. So, you know, that's what's going on. So here we have a story about the power of uniquely American song after this ad.
Join the masters of style. Trim, shave, edge. Look with the Fusion Pro Glide Styler from Gillette.
Right when the sun calls it a day and starts setting on the Puget Sound, residents of this neighborhood in Tacoma, Washington say they start hearing music. same time, same 24 notes. A lot of people say it's the most poignant melody they've ever heard.
When you hear the first note, everything in our house comes to a complete halt.
People stop and go out.
And I kind of let it wash over me.
Although the notes have been played before, from military funerals to Boy Scout campfires, rarely do you hear taps here. Coming from a back porch in a suburban neighborhood.
I'm in another zone when I'm playing. I'm not aware of anything but the fact that I'm playing this, and I'm trying to play it as best as I can. Do a good job.
Don Britton has been playing trumpet since he was a kid and was even in a band for a while, but he's never taken it as seriously as he does now. Every morning, the 78-year-old retired aerospace worker checks the paper to see when sunset is, and every afternoon he practices for his nightly performance. He's been doing this for the past 2 years, partly to show his appreciation for our military.
Support our guys that are over there fighting.
Did you serve in the war?
No. I had polio when I was a kid, so I couldn't serve.
For him, that was one of the worst things about polio.
Oh, I would have served in a heartbeat, you bet.
Yet his ritual is only partly for the soldiers. It's also for his neighbors, who now take it just as seriously as he does. As soon as they hear Don start, they come out and stand at attention.
Seems to move people. It has an effect on them.
It's just very emotional for me.
It's beautiful.
We appreciate it.
In our everyday hectic lives, there's almost nothing that gets people to stop like this, to honor or just reflect. But here in Tacoma, they spend 24 notes nightly doing exactly that. Steve Hartman, on the road in Tacoma, Washington.
I was going to say, because there'd be neighborhoods where people wouldn't be that nice about that. I just know. Come on, you know that too. There'd be neighborhoods where people say, we can't have all that kind of noise and stuff. So anyway, that's pretty cool right there. All right. Now, the Muslims are on the move. They're making their sacred trip to Mecca and to the Grand Mosque. And when you see the number of people, you just go, holy moly. It's the largest yearly gathering of people in the world. In the center of the mosque is a cube-shaped structure called the Kaaba, the most sacred site in Islam, toward which Muslims around the world face during prayer. Well, all right. This was an interesting thing, and I'm not surprised they found out these results. 1 in 4 California schools flout the drinking water rules. Lack of awareness of laws and costs were main reasons for student access problems. You know what you're supposed to have in schools now? I'm serious. Filtered water that's cooled. So that's what's going on. So in Turlock they have one. That's what they were talking about. Anyway, the study of 240 randomly selected public schools was conducted between May and November of 2011. The study found that the primary reason the schools did not provide water at mealtimes were a lack of awareness of the laws as well as cost. So that's why, right? So they supposed to have water for the kids. They'd rather have a Coke anyway. Get that Coke machine going. Yeah, why not? And Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton encouraged foreigners to invest in Haiti as she and husband Bill led a star-studded delegation gathered Monday to inaugurate a new industrial park at the center of U.S. efforts to help the country rebuild after the 2010 earthquake. So they're saying somebody else, Sean Penn was there, Ben Stiller, fashion designer Donna Karan, Richard Branson, are all there to say, you could build something here, but why would you?
Well, she was just 17, you know what I mean, and the way she looked was way beyond compare. So how could I dance with a
Name of that name of the group is Home Free, and the name of the album is Kicking It Old School. So, and we're gonna have another song from them here coming up. You're Bill Benigan. This is Talk Is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo, your news station. Thanks for joining me today. It's a pleasant day. It's not bad, you know, a little nippy, good sweater day like I'm wearing. And then somebody's turned the air conditioner on in here, and I don't know why. So I haven't had a chance to get up to anything about it. Okay, well, I'll just do the best I can then. All right, then. Okay. So here's, of course, the thing that's in the news today, and this is the fact-checking stuff, what facts were distorted, in the presidential debate. Lots of them. I said that they don't get together to discuss truisms. They just get together and debate. And a lot of stuff that comes out of their mouths is like, okay, not so much. All right. Now, this was interesting with the release. First off, let me say the Tribune had an opinion piece. Trust is abused in Boy Scouts. And they said, because they're now just releasing these files about, you know, and we have, what, six men on the Central Coast that were being investigated for pedophilia is what it is. Lisa Frazier, who's executive director of the Child Abuse Prevention Council in San Luis Obispo, said, with the release of the perversion files made public by the Boy Scouts of America, there may be a temptation to close the book on this story and focus on other concerns, such as the economy and all that stuff. But to do so would be to ignore another concern that impacts all of us, the ongoing responsibility of adults to ensure that all children have the opportunity to lead healthy lives. Today, the norm of silence about child sexual abuse is an open discussion about what it takes to ensure healthy children's development. Given this, we ask all adults to see the cover-up, the perversion files, as a call to action to support the Talking About Touching program and other prevention education. These are resources provided by the San Luis Obispo County Child Abuse Prevention Council. To learn more, visit www.slocap.org. You know, the other thing, too, is, look what's gone on with the priesthood, look what's gone on at Penn State. There's another aspect that nobody's really talking about. That's for those of us that are on the outside looking in on this, we're like, what the heck is going on here? How can there be so much of this? Why is there so much of this? Has there always been this much of this, and we just didn't know it? I mean, it's like, really, you know, is our society changing, and more men are becoming pedophiles? Sure makes you wonder. Makes me wonder. Obviously, baby boomers, there are people that had to unfortunately encounter it in silence, you know, and they did so, you know, but it was not really made public, any of that back then. But you would have thought if you had a friend or something that you would have known that something was not right. But I don't know. Maybe it's been the same forever. I have no idea. Nearly half of registered voters, 45%, say they expect the economy to get better in the next 12 months, a survey finds. These surveys are a dime a dozen. But anyway, that's good. Apparently, the people that are invested in Wall Street didn't think so this morning. But, you know, down the road, maybe, we're looking for good things. All right. I want to play you something because it's so cool. I want to make sure I play it for you. Let me get it. This is our little sound bites thing. And I'll tell you what the website is again after she's done, because this is really a neat website. If you're going to be carving pumpkins, they have all these stencils that you can go to on this website and print them for free and just get some crazy pumpkins going on.
Pumpkin patterns from the pros. This is Soundbites, and I'm Jan Ziff. 10 years of the spookiest, ookiest, creepiest, crawliest, zombiest Halloween pumpkins on the web. And still going strong. That's www.zombiepumpkins.com. If you want a pumpkin so scary, this is where you go to get the inspirations and the instructions. Hundreds of unique pumpkin carving ideas that'll take you miles beyond three triangles and a zigzag. Pumpkins that look like Vincent Price, pumpkins that look like Batboy, pumpkins that look like death warmed over, and pumpkins that look like death without the warmth. Over 2 million patterns downloaded over the past decade, and plenty more where those came from. All you need is a big fat pumpkin and a good sharp knife, so don't be scared. Just get your pumpkin carving plans from zombiepumpkins.com. With sound bites, I'm Jan Ziff for CBS News.
Thank you very much. Let me go make sure you got that thing again. Let me get rid of that, and let me tell you what this is. The zombie pumpkins. It is www.zombiepumpkins.com. And so you go to that website, and there's some really great stencils that you can use. We'll have more on Halloween on Soundbites this week coming up. Other great things that you can go to, places you go, and things to do, fun to have, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, let's see what we have here that I thought we'd share, because I thought there's more than meets the eye here. Okay. Here was another thing too. I don't know why that just did that, but this is exactly what I wanted. So let's see if that's what's going to happen. I might have done something accidentally that is going to turn out really for the better. It is okay. Well, we're talking about Halloween. How about savings on Halloween? How about saving a buck or two? So nothing wrong with that. So we will find out more about savings on Halloween after
Start
we have cars.
Cars for drink coffee. Hatch a design. Kill the design. Design something totally original. Do it again. That's good. Kick out the committees.
This is for the new Dodge Dart. Remember the old Dodge Dart? You had to be at least 75 to be able to buy one.
Give it a starting price under 16 grand. Take it to the car shows. Get a celebrity endorser. He's perfect.
I am?
Yes, you are. Making a groundbreaking car. It's that easy.
With 9 days until Halloween, many consumers are still getting ready for trick-or-treating. The average household is expected to spend $80 this year. That is actually up 10% from last year. But don't worry, it is not too late for you to save money. Kelly Grant, senior consumer reporter for SmartMoney.com, is here to tell us a little bit more about how we can save money. Thanks for joining us this morning, Kelly.
Thank you.
You know, I always wanted to be the person on the block that gave out the best candy. But that's also, you know, the pricier stuff, like the chocolates and all that kind of stuff. And I haven't picked up anything at all yet.
That is the right strategy, and the kids will
really?
Actually probably like you for it. the deals that are out there, the experts are telling us, you know, really you want to wait until just a couple of days before Halloween to start picking up the candy, because the prices, you'll see bags now that might be $7. Those are going to be about $3 when you get down to the last couple of days before Halloween.
Wow.
Plus then, you know, the selection maybe not so great, but the kids don't really mind, and it keeps you from having a lot in the house, because I know I eat it if I get it too early, too.
I do, too. And that's a really, really good deal. My procrastinating will actually work in my favor.
That's
will
good.
It work in my favor in terms of getting a costume for my little baby? She's only 19 months, but, you know, I was going to dress her up this year, but I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I don't know what to pick.
Well, generally, procrastination on costumes does not pay, because the sales end a couple of days. You'll see, like, 27th, 28th. That's really kind of like your last-minute
okay.
effort, because a lot of the sales are online, so it's too late to really get free shipping,
right.
And then the in-store selection is picked over. Luckily, with a 19-month-old, she's probably not going to have a particular costume that she's really excited
no,
about.
She has no say. It's all for the grandparents.
Exactly. So then that's at least a little bit easier, but you know, generally speaking, for most people, you want to look for those sales. Now we are seeing online deals, easily 50% off and free shipping.
Okay, and it's sort of back to the candy again. Is it good to buy bulk?
It's actually a really smart idea to get that candy in bulk when you do go in. You know, talk to your neighbors, talk to family members, and try to get those big bags. What we see is at sites like Costco, you know, they're going to have that same bag that's, you know, maybe $7 right now at Target is going to be at Costco.
I love that. I actually used to live right down the street from one of the best haunted houses in the country. It's Eastern State Penitentiary. Terrifying. There'd be lineups for the entire month of October there. And people pay big bucks to get scared. Not me. Never, never, never will I pay. But can you get deals on that kind of stuff, too, if you really want to get into the spirit of Halloween?
You can. Actually, try to go on a weekday is one of the bigger tips right now, because, of course, Halloween weekend is big. But a lot of these attractions, they're open every day during the week, because this is really their only time that they're going to run. They want to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So you'll find that oftentimes the ticket prices could be maybe 25% cheaper for going on a weekday. We've also found if you buy your tickets online before you go, no matter which day of the week you go, deals there can be up to 50% off.
Okay, that's pretty good. And speaking of deals, a lot of times people go on these websites to get deals for dinner and those sort of things. You know, those sort of discount
daily
websites,
deal sites.
Right? Right, daily deal sites, right.
good option?
They're a great strategy for Halloween. We've seen deals popping up for costume sites, for candy, for decorations, and again, for those haunted houses, other sort of Halloween parties. The tickets for those sort of events and other Halloween parties are getting really big on these sites, so check out. DealRadar.com is a good idea to see all of the available deals in your area rather than sign up for the individual sites.
That is a new one I have not heard of before. Thank you very much. Kelly Grant, Senior Consumer Reporter for SmartMoney.com.
And there you are. So that's, and I'll tell you what, we got another story coming up, and you may have heard that this is in the news. Is there's been some deaths, and the question is, are they to be, is Monster Energy Drink to blame for these? We'll find out more about that. And somewhere along the line, I'm going to get this air conditioner turned off. I'm going to freeze to death. Hey, how about them Giants? Hey, how about the Giants? No sense talking about the Dodgers anymore. Giants, anyway. So they're World Series bound again. Good for them. So, anyway, it'll be a fun World Series once again. And so it'll be cool. Is there anybody else in the anything else in sports? That was such a big, huge thing. Nah, the Bears beat the Lions last night. But that was sort of to be expected. Anybody? Sort of was to be expected. That's what they said. All right. Let's talk about some other. Let's talk about some leftover stuff we never got to. One thing right here is the arrest video interpreted two ways, and this is arrest that they made by the Maxine Lewis shelter, and so the woman that did the videography and then posted it on Kelcos News, she said, well, there's no reason to take this guy down prior to him being talked to, and yet the police say in the past he's had things in his pocket that he's either thrown at them or tried to stab them with, and that he, that this is the only way they have to approach this guy. Once again, as we talked with Karen and I last week, the sad part is that there's no help for this man. There's really no help, he could go to mental health for, 48 hours, and then he's back on the street. So there's something, I don't know what we're going to do about it, what we're not going to do things about. But anyway. Now, here's a headline. Here's one of those headlines you go, It says, as inmate care got better, costs rose. But they're talking about some really wild and crazy stuff. How about a doctor at a California medical facility who was paid more than $410,000 last year, while a registered nurse at High Desert State Prison made $236,000? That's, that's a little bit high right there, twice the statewide average in both cases. A pharmacist at Corcoran State Prison was paid more than $196,000, nearly double what is typical across the state. Who knows? Every chance that people have to screw the taxpayer, they do. They just, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the greed thing is. We talked about this. I mean, it's utter greed that says, screw it. If I can get away with this, I'm going to get away with it. And that's how life is looked at. How do we get like that? Doesn't matter. That's how we are. Aaron? Now, you may have heard this also. I think I mentioned O.J. Simpson was possibly going to get he made an appeal to a new trial judge, and he may get a new trial. They may say that he kind of got screwed on the first trial, that his defense didn't do the right thing, and it wasn't good representation. The prosecution says that. Prosecutor Chris Owens protested that the rehashing issue long settled by Simpson's conviction, which was upheld by the Nevada Supreme Court. She said she's just guessing what they did. So anyway, but I don't know what that all means. So then there's another, you probably heard, we had another panga boat we discovered up on the coast. Panga, we're panga boating these days. And a popular parrot at the Charros Paddock Zoo on Friday kicked it. His ability to mimic language. Anyway, he died at the Paddock Zoo. He had lived at the zoo since 1999. Angel was his name. And that's what, I guess, to people that love animals, that's what he became. We talked about this. This was an issue about 3 months ago, 2 months ago. We were talking about people that kiss their dogs, people that kiss their animals. And so they had a thing today on live, And they were talking about the fact that, you know, the dog licks every part of itself to clean itself. Notice I'm telling you, every part of itself. Then if you kiss the dog, you can actually get infections in your mouth from the fact that he's been in certain areas cleaning himself. So maybe the best idea is to pat him on the head. I know if you're a dog kisser, you're going to say, no, Bill, I'm getting right to it. I'm right there with that dog kissing. Okay. It was funny. One of the recommendations was when you, if you do kiss your dog, don't linger. Don't linger. Okay. All right, then. Drop in California jobless rate is stunning. Then it says it's not stunning. However, there are qualifiers. The number of new jobs is small. Many have stopped looking. Others are working part-time. So, therefore, it's not stunning. That's the headline. It says it's stunning, but then the subheadline, is that what that's called? Says, well, but maybe here's why. Depends on how you look about it. It just depends how you look at it. Let's see if we can get to this story here about the monster drink and see if that'll come up for me. And because this is a woman says her daughter drank 2 24-ounce cans of this stuff and killed her. Now, whether or not that's true or not, they don't know. So we'll see if we can find out. We could have an ad again first. And it could be for the Dodge Dart. Yep. Anyway.
Start with a simple idea. Think, drink coffee, Dodge Dart. Design, kill the design. Design something totally original. Do it again. That's good. Kick out the committees. Call in the engineers. Call in the car guys. Call in the nerds. Build a prototype. Mold it. Shape it. Love it. Give it 40 mpg. No, 41. Give it a huge display. Give it a starting price under 16 grand. Take it to the car shows. Get a celebrity endorser. He's perfect.
I am?
Yes, you are. Making a groundbreaking car. It's that easy.
Stocks open sharply lower. Investors are selling for a third day after more disappointing earnings reports. DuPont says it will cut 1,500 jobs after profits fell sharply in the third quarter. UPS also says its earnings were down, and 3M, which makes everything from Post-it notes to traffic sign coatings, blamed current economic realities when it cut its profit forecast for the year. Apple is expected to take the wraps off a smaller version of the iPad this afternoon. Analysts predict it will be about half the size of the original iPad, and they expect it to cost somewhere between
$250
and $300.
Not all the news of the day.
The Food and Drug Administration is investigating reports of 5 deaths after people drank Monster energy drinks. The report claims people had bad reactions to the drink, which contains 240 milligrams of caffeine. That is 7 times the amount in a can of cola. The allegations date back to 2004, and the FDA says the reports do not prove the drink caused the deaths. News of the investigation sent Monster's shares down as much as 14%. And a new survey finds younger Americans in their late 30s are now most worried about being financially secure when they retire. That's a big shift from 3 years ago when baby boomers were most concerned. The Pew Research Center study reflects the impact of the weak economic recovery. All age groups expressed worry about building a sufficient financial nest egg. That's your Money Watch. For more, stay with CBSMoneyWatch.com. In New York, I'm Ashley Morrison.
I was born for adventure.
I was born to lead.
I was born to help people.
I was born to be a National Guard soldier.
Because I'm a doer.
Because I want to serve.
Because I'm compassionate.
The Guard lets me fulfill a tradition of proud military service.
Like the founders of our nation.
Like my father.
We are leaders of tomorrow.
Whenever the call comes,
I'll be ready.
My unit responds and takes action.
Because we're trained professionals.
Because those are my neighbors.
The community can trust that we will be there to help.
In a flood.
In a hurricane.
In any disaster nature throws our way.
We'll bring food and water.
We'll get people their medicine.
We'll get the community back on its feet.
No matter what the challenge is,
we're trained to overcome it.
I will stand up to protect my nation.
Whether it's a threat at home or overseas,
we will bravely face it as National Guard soldiers.
In the National Guard, you can proudly serve your community and your country. Call 1-800-GO-GUARD. And ask us about the job opportunities available in your state.
Sponsored by the California National Guard, aired by the California Broadcasters Association and this station.
Brian turned to glance at the pilot, who suddenly had both hands on his stomach and was grimacing in pain.
I don't know, kid.
The pilot's words were a hiss, barely audible.
Bad aches here. Bad aches.
He stopped as a fresh spasm of pain hit him. The pilot was having a heart attack. Brian saw the pilot slam into the seat one more time. One more awful time he slammed back into the seat, and his right leg jerked. pulling the plane to the side. Brian was sitting in a bush plane roaring 7,000 feet above the northern wilderness with a pilot who had suffered a massive heart attack and who was either dead or in something close to a coma. He was alone. In the roaring plane, he was alone. The plane, committed now to crashing, fell like a stone, and Brian eased back and braced himself for the crash. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Hatchet by Gary Paulson. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cent. No phone, no pool, no pets. I ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing through. 5 and 8 by 12 for bedroom. Mama, man, wealthy means by no means king of the road. Third boxcar, midnight train, destination Bangor Bay. Old worn out suits and shoes, I don't pay no union dues. I smoke old stogies I have found, short but not to be around. I'm a man of means by no means king of the road. I know every engineer on every train, all of their children and all of their names, and every handout in every town, and every lock that ain't locked when no one's around. I sing, trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pen. Got no cigarettes, a bus, and 2 hours of pushing broom. 5 and 8 by 12 for bedroom. Mama, man of means by no means king of the road. Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let in 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pen. Ain't got no cigarettes, but 2 hours of pushing broom. 5 and 8 by 12 for bedroom. Mama, man of means by no means king of the road.
There you go. Roger Miller's great old song that he was inspired to write by a sign that he saw on an old Fleabag motel that he happened to go by and saw the sign and wrote a song. Hey, Bill Becker, this is Talk of Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYMS, your new station. Thanks for joining me today. It's right now 133.33, and the weather wizard says by Thursday it'll start to get in the 70s and then in the 80s by the weekend. That's according to the guess that the weather wizard had. All right, other things that are going on, other things that happened. There was another important story here coming up that I want to share with you. And it has to do with Al-Qaeda and what's going on overseas. And as you know, there's this spillover from Syria has become a huge problem and to everyone and a great fear right now about, you know, what's going on. So there's that all by itself, but it's getting worse. There's a deadly attack feared by the Taliban. And we'll get a story for you. I can't know if we're going to have a spot first.
Tell us what kind of mulch you use.
Lowe's. It's Lowe's.
You bought.
I don't remember the name.
I don't know. My Lowe's automatically tracks and stores all of your purchases so you don't have to remember.
That's pretty cool.
We scan. My Lowe's remembers. Your life gets easier. Sign up at Lowe's.
An unprecedented deadly attack against a major NATO base in Afghanistan is now being featured in a Taliban propaganda video. A group of insurgents breached the heavily fortified Camp Bastion, killed 2 Marines, and caused tens of millions of dollars worth of damage. Bob Orr reports.
The 7-minute video, released by the Taliban, purports to show the final stages of planning for the brazen attack on Camp Bastion. Insurgents wearing what appear to be U.S. military uniforms are shown cutting through a chain-link fence, a tactic used in the assault. Another scene shows enemy fighters in an operational planning session. One of the commanders uses a whiteboard and crude sketches to describe the location of aircraft and fortifications on the British-run airbase. In great detail, the leader describes how the attackers will split into three teams, each with specific target assignments. And the tape contains messages, last wills of some of the fighters who clearly didn't expect to survive the assault. This man, speaking in English, accuses the United States of attacking Islam.
You have come to Afghanistan to pillage on Muslims. In the name of the terrorism. It is not terrorism. We are not terrorists. Just we sacrifice ourselves in the way of Almighty Allah.
The September 14th nighttime raid was the most destructive enemy attack in the decade-long Afghanistan war. 15 insurgents, armed with automatic weapons and rocket-propelled grenades, destroyed 6 Harrier jets and attacked fueling stations. These pictures, taken by the Taliban the morning after the attack, show fires continuing to burn. All but one of the enemy fighters were killed, but so were 2 U.S. Marines. Sergeant Bradley Atwell and Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Rabel died during the hours-long firefight that ended the assault. The video was emailed to the media by a Taliban spokesman. It's impossible to tell from the tape when or where it was made or if the men in the video took part in the attack. Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
Thank you very much. All right. So that's, you know, that's just spooky stuff is really what it comes down to. It's just, stuff that's going on. All right, other things that are going on. Other things that are happening. As inmate care got better, costs rose. Now, what they showed in that article was not that it had actually happened, that the inmate care didn't necessarily get better. We just were paying doctors and nurses too much and whoever else. Okay. Other than that, okay. By the way, I went in the other room. The thermostat's in the other room down the hall, three doors down. And we try to balance this thing, but the thermostat's doing something very strange. And so I mentioned to Katie, who's going to tell somebody every yet. All by itself, this is a true story. All by itself, it'll either go down to 62, which is what it did with the air conditioner on, or I don't know why the air conditioner would be on though. Or it would go. It goes up to 85. So, I try to concentrate the best I can. Okay, yeah, try to do the best I can. All right. Air Force flap, airport abortion flap, not Air Force, abortion flap hit Chicago congressman. The folks of a fierce suburban congressional battle turned from the economy on to abortion overnight following Republican Representative Joe Walsh's controversial declaration there's no medical necessity to use the procedure to save a woman's life. So this is, you get these things that people make these statements that are just out there, and you don't know why they make the statements that are out there, and you just don't get it. You know, and you don't understand why they don't get it. But, you know, this is, look at this other Ted guy, Ted Aiken, in total nut. You heard about this woman in Ojai, did you, that escaped the bear attack? She played dead. Don't they say that doesn't work? It worked for her. She got scratched up a little bit, but it was a mama bear and her cub. And so her dogs ran off. This was a woman with 2 dogs that she was walking, and the dogs ran off. The dog said, "I'm not. Are you kidding? That's a bear, for God's sake. Good luck." And off they went. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. The Alameda County Sheriff's Department hopes to become one of those handful of local law enforcement agencies that have received federal clearance to use unmanned aerial drones to fight crime. Now, you know what's interesting? Of course, there's this whole privacy issue they talk about. I don't know what the difference is between having a drone flying around or having a helicopter flying around, which if you were, visit L.A., you can't believe that how many there are that never stop. It's 24 hours a day. And so then there's someplace else that they were talking about. I think it was in Afghanistan where the neighbors are all torqued off because the drones fly too low. And they're getting tired of them. The noise at night. It's a new world out there. maybe a new world here. All right. Other people that are in the news. In Oxnard, what a weird story. The police were pursuing some people. They jumped out of the car and ran. The police come upon a person who had nothing to do with anything, and they shot him. And he wasn't one of the perps. He was just an innocent bystander. So they have a hard time explaining that. I think this person previously indicated that whose family had been on jogging was caught in the crossfire. That's what they realized, he was caught in the crossfire. No, they shot him. He was out jogging. So how could he possibly know that somebody else was running past, you know, running somewhere else away from the cops? We should probably hear more about that. I don't know if we will, but we should. Arrestees who say they were denied bail because they had federal immigration holds have sued the Los Angeles County Sheriff, alleging they were illegally detained for days or months at a time. So we'll see what's going on with that. All right, here's other things. Here's other people on the news. A lawyer arguing for the state of Alaska that polar bears are not a threatened species ran to skeptical appellate court judges Friday. So anyway, and I could understand that. I don't know where you'd come up with that statement, especially with what's going on with global warming, ice is getting thinner and all that kind of stuff. So that doesn't make any sense. And the first time on a key Midwestern route between Chicago and St. Louis, an Amtrak passenger train topped 110 miles per hour when the brakes went out. No, I'm teasing. They did it on purpose. Tennessee's chief medical officer says the rate of new infections from a deadly fungal meningitis outbreak appears to be declining in the state where it was first discovered. Wait a minute. I had a story here about, if I can find it. And, of course, I won't be able to find it now. It's as soon as I need something, I can't find it. About a girl who has survived this thing. And I went somewhere. Decided to take a hike. Yeah, I don't have it. Maybe I have it here. I'll see. It's for all of us, you know, to see if we can find these things. All right. I'm still kind of fascinated with the beluga whale that it was actually singing some kind of a song, and we couldn't identify it. Okay. I don't know where it is I see these things, and they just totally disappear. So it kind of, you know, makes you wonder about your own self. You know you saw it. It was right there. But then it went away. Okay. We're not going to worry about that. Let's see what else is going on with other people and things. Let's see what the headlines are. On CNN today, at this up to the minute right here, at 1:43, we're going to see what's going on at 1:43. Make sure we haven't missed anything. Now, there's all this political analysis, of course, still going on until, you know, you want to die. But besides that, I'm looking at besides that. Okay. Here we go. Big sell-off on Wall Street, we should know. Sandy may be hurricane soon, so whatever, it's a tropical storm, Sandy may be a hurricane. The scientists in Italy were jailed over the earthquake thing. Nobody can understand that. Had people found dead. Anyway, let's see. Bad ground beef linked to E. coli. We better find out where that is. The United States Food Safety and Inspection Service announced that 2,310 pounds of ground beef products from Utah and 4,100 pounds of ground beef products from Hawaii are being recalled on fears they may be contaminated with E. coli. Recalled cases of high market ground beef bulk from Haiga Meat and Pork Market in Honolulu, Hawaii bear the establishment number EST1247M, which we would never see. Inside the USDA Market Inspection, as well as identifying case code number, which we would never see. The products were produced on October 17th. Consumers with questions regarding the recall should call this vice president at 808-531-3591. Products in Utah recall because Main Street Quality Meats had included 10-pound case labeled ground beef bulk 12-pound cases called ground beef patties. Each carries, it has a number on it. I don't know why they're telling us this story, because what are we supposed to do about that? They're Class 1 recalls, which means that they're a health hazard, an imminent health hazard. So that's a strange tale to me. Okay, so, you can go to CNN, you can write those numbers down, walk into your neighborhood market and say, did you have a case of this stuff? And they're not going to know. They would have, the case would, it's in the middle of October, would have been thrown out by now. Okay. Amazing. Just amazing. Now, here's one of these stories, here's one of these tales that you can't hardly believe that you're hearing when you're hearing it. And this has to do with a new major in school. Said, we're having trouble having Cuesta College survive if this tax thing doesn't go through on next month. And then here's other schools that have highly unusual things going on and are giving people credit for them.
Economically, it seems like a good choice now.
We need environmental protection.
Okay, this is still as well as that. I could left it down and just kind of talked to you and said, okay, we're going to talk about this new thing here, because this is speak to the dead and earn college earn credits.
It's almost always dark inside the first room on the left, a recliner in the center of what once was a bedroom. Black drapes seem to smother 19-year-old Caitlin Rankin.
Because you never know what you could possibly come across.
Radford University students are taking part in an independent study course that's about as different as anything I've ever seen, learning about the afterlife by reaching out to the dead. Students built this theater of the mind chamber on the cheap. They call it the Psychomantium. The simple setup is inside what was an apartment complex that's been converted into the Religious Studies Advising Building at RU.
Right now, not so bad because the door's open, but usually it has its own energy. Everyone that comes in says that there's like some feeling when you come in. It just has its own like vibe.
Neither the photographer nor myself wanted to be inside this room. A 3 by 2.5 foot mirror that just seemed odd. Two large black sheets hanging from the ceiling, a lamp on the floor, and silence.
For people coming in here, they're using an ancient ecstatic technique that's been used in ancient Greece and elsewhere to contact the dead.
The department secretary told me she wouldn't even go near that room. She even offered me a key to get in myself. Ryan Wade is a junior. He helped build this chamber. He says it works.
I've had a ghost encounter in here, like a person. With the ghost encounter,
right.
There was a girl sitting in the chair, and she said that she saw a shape outside of the curtains, and she thought it was either Caitlin or I messing with her, but we're not trying to mess with people with this.
Okay. So there you go. You got the chair, you got the room, and you get credit. That's the most important part of that story right there, is the credit you get for being part of that. Okay, moving right along here. Other news. Well, this is an interesting move. Here's a way around some of these things. Spain is considering a ban on photographing, filming, or reproducing images of the police and state security forces are on duty. The idea is that way they don't have cops that do the wrong thing that they can blame. Now, if there's no evidence of it, then how are you going to blame them? There's an approach right there. Okay. And here's this terrible thing that I was talking about that caused us to be thrown out of the Philippines. The U.S. military imposed a curfew Friday on all of its nearly 50,000 uniformed personnel stationed in Japan as it tried to respond to outrage over suspected rape of a woman in Okinawa by two U.S. sailors. The commander of U.S. forces in Japan apologized for the case, saying that U.S. military personnel will also be required to take core value training. Are there actually young people in the Navy that don't know that raping someone is wrong? I mean, is that possible? It doesn't seem possible. So I don't know. That's just me, though. It just doesn't seem possible. All right. Other people, I want to make sure I got one more story I want to share with you. I want to see if I can get it up here. I got it. It's a ridiculous thing I wanted to play and share with you because it's rather funny, really. Oh, by the way, it happened today. I thought I heard it happen, and it happened. I was watching live with, what's it, Kelly and Michael, and they had, oh, come on, Bill, don't not know his name right here when it gets important. I can't, honestly, gosh, can't think of his name right now. So what good does this story do? What good is it? What good does it do to try to tell you the story if I can't think of it? He was the guy that Gerard Butler. I was going to say he was the guy that was in Law Abiding Citizen. Anyway, so here's what happened. He was talking about an event in his life, which was very dramatic, by the way. And so what had happened was they had pulled a person out of a pool, and then somebody gave the person mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, et cetera. Anyway, so the person started breathing, the little boy started to breathe, and then he was trying to carry him up out of this canyon, and his legs were giving out. And so he used the S-bomb. He said, I said to myself, oh, and there it was. And so smartly they just ignored it, you know. But I wanted to see how long does it take for this to hit YouTube. It took 120 seconds maybe.
In Denver was covering a fall festival when things took a somewhat unexpected turn. Take a look.
Joe Miller, nice to see you.
Take a listen.
It's Miller Farms.
Miller Farms.
Annual
fall festival.
What's it all about, Joey? Come out here and you for $15.
It's about harvesting your vegetables, going out to the field, picking your own stuff.
Before we toss it back, we got to go to Drew, the farm kid. How you doing there, Pally? Right now, you know, I know he can't say anything right now, but you know what he's saying right now? E equals MC squared. Get the camera off my face.
The look on that child's face is simply priceless. It says it all. Who are you? Won't you go away? I'm going to try to perfect look. It would come in handy in so many things, I think. Now, you can probably guess what happens next. And come on, if someone 10 times your size and your face like that, you would probably cry.
Get the camera. Take this cantaloupe.
Don't make him cry.
It's terrible. I love that kid.
Way to go. Dan, make a baby boy cry on live television. Way to go.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's happy now. I could
walk away. Happy because you walked away.
Conferring with the flowers. Consulting with.
That's right. When in doubt, break into the Scarecrow's song from the Wizard of Oz. That often works. Which brings us to tonight's ridiculous poll question. Who would hire as a babysitter? That guy or me?
Anderson, nope. You look very natural with children.
Yeah. Hey, look. Here, sit up.
You do.
There you go.
Something. There's a baby in your picture.
There you go. You want a piece of paper?
There you go.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Anderson, what did you do to him?
I did nothing to that kid. See, we should all know better by now. Live television kids, they just don't mix. Except for that time when Corinne Winter was doing a live report on Kim Kardashian's wedding. That was, in a word, awesome.
Now, as for the wedding, a lot of the details have been kept in mind. Kim Wooing, she's going to be marrying B.A. Beau, NBA player Humphries. Kim also spoke out yesterday to Ryan Seacrest. He, of course, produces a reality show on E! Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And while she didn't reveal a lot of juicy details, she did say that her dress is going to blow everyone away.
Yes, there are a few things you can count on in live television, but one of them is if there is a kid involved, he will always, always steal the show.
Right. All right. So that's the way things are. Kids steal the show. Anyway, we had, matter of fact, I was thinking that Avon, who was in today with her mom, I don't know if I thought Avon was maybe going to steal the show too. I was looking forward to that, to tell you the truth. I was hoping for it, but she's just a good little girl. Just when you want something to go crazy, it doesn't. Last story today. A Jack Russell Terrier has survived after being poisoned and buried alive. And he can thank the man who saw the ground wiggle. Ethan had a whole chain of saviors, the man who dug him up, the firefighters who rushed him off, and a veterinarian who nursed him back to life. The veterinarian said that when firemen brought the dirt-covered terrier to his office, he was completely cold and barely breathing. But they saved him.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel. Everyone.
Thanks for being a friend on the Friends and Neighbors Network today with Bill. We'll get together again tomorrow at noon. Don't have anybody scheduled for coming in at this moment, but we'll see what happens. Join me then. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.